following is a presentation of Genoa. For more information, find us on the web at genoachurch.org.
Well, good morning, Genoa. How's everyone doing? That was pretty rough. But listen, Saturday night service was even better than that. I'll give you one more time. Hey, Genoa, how's everybody doing? All right, that's a little much, a little too loud, okay? So somewhere in between. But guys, thank you so much for being here today. Located in front of you is our communication card. If it's your first time here, if you would fill that out, especially put your email address so we can let you know of a lot of cool things going around here at the church. Over the past 2 weeks, we've had many of you share prayer requests and different things with us. In fact, 20 people have signed up to be baptized, and we're so excited for that. And so if you have not been baptized, this would be a good time to fill out the card and be a part of everyone with their New Year's resolutions. In fact, how many people here today would say, I have started a New Year's resolution? Thank you. Thank you, Peggy. Glad one person. Well, generally in the church world, you would see this Sunday would be a time where we would present New Year's resolutions, where we would ask you to do these 10 things that will make your year that much better. And I'm getting a little bit of feedback here, so if you could turn the monitors off, I'd appreciate that. But I'm not going to come and share, hey, these are the 5 or these are the 10 things that will make your life better. What I'm going to ask you to do, as you see on the front of your bulletin, I'm going to ask you to pause. I'm going to ask you to take a break. I'm going to ask you to kind of think about maybe 2018, what it was, and look forward to what 2019 can be. I love the pause button. My wife and I, we watch probably more Netflix than what we should, and whether it's a sporting event or something on TV, I love the pause button. And so my wife and I will be sitting down, we'll be getting ready to watch something, and without a doubt, about 1 minute to any program, I realize I don't have popcorn with me. And so I pause the TV, I pause the movie, and go make some popcorn. Doesn't matter if it's caramel corn, if it's cheddar, if it's butter, if it's extra butter. As long as it's not plain, like I need to have popcorn while I'm eating. A couple minutes later, we may not have gone to the bathroom the whole day, but as soon as we play a movie, that is the time we decide it's time to go to the bathroom. Occasionally, our children like to have scuffles here or there with who gets to play the new video game, so we pause to settle that problem. So the pause button is a wonderful thing. And maybe you're here today and you think, there's other buttons on the controller that I wish I could deal with. We have some teenagers in this room. And maybe you're thinking, I would like to use the fast forward button. Like, I can't wait till I'm 16 and I have all that freedom and I can drive and get away and how awesome that's going to be. Or the time when you're going to be 18 and you can get out of the house and have your own freedom and pay your own bills and your food and your gas and all that other stuff. Or you can't wait till you graduate from college because then you can get your real job and move on with your life and you want to fast forward through parts of your life. I would say there's a majority of us in this room that would like to have the rewind button. I would like to rewind when I had to pay for haircuts. Like, I miss those days of being a teenager and having hair to deal with. Maybe you're older and you're retired and you're not looking back to going to work, but you miss the fact that you didn't have to get new knees and new elbows and new shoulders and surgeries all the time. We miss the days before medication when we were on different pills. And sometimes we wish we could rewind and go back and make a different choice. We wish we can go back and rewind and not do that stupid thing. And so although we have the pause button, we have the fast forward, we have the rewind, I only see in Scripture the pause. I don't see where it says, hey, focus on your past. Again, it says, hey, fast forward through what you're going through right now. It says we can look to the past to be reminded of God's goodness. We can look to the future to be reminded of our future in heaven. But the only thing it mentions in Scripture is the pause button. And so when we look in Psalm chapter 46, that'll be our scripture passage. It's a song. We didn't have time to get it together and sing it to you, and so we will just be reading it together. But in Psalm chapter 46, it lists about 9 different verses before the one we get to. And we'll go back and look at a couple of those. And it tells us things that we can do and things that we should do based upon verse number 10. Verse number 10, it's on the screen. It says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." This verse is probably not one that I would preach very often. When I'm preaching, when I'm teaching, it's kind of a coaching mentality that comes out of me. You can always do better. You could always give a little bit more effort. You could push yourself a little bit harder. Yes, you lifted this weight last week, but you could add a couple more pounds. Like, I'm always trying to get more out of the people that I'm coaching, more out of the people that I'm trying to disciple. Like, you can do more. And this verse says, no, just be still. So we think about the new year. I've got to go, go, go. I've got to accomplish. I've got to do. I've got to get that raise. I've got to get that promotion. And right now, today, we're just going to focus on the pause. You see, our bodies were created for the pause. We think about in creation, the first 6 days, God worked. But on the seventh day, what did he do? He rested. We see in the Ten Commandments, it says, hey, once a week to remember the Sabbath, to take a day off, let your body rest, pause. We know that in the farming industry that you can't plant the same crop every single year in the same location. It has to have a pause. It has to be mixed up. For those of you who work out, you know that you can't work out the same muscles every single day. That's why I work out once a month, so I don't have to worry about any of the muscles at all. But we were meant for the pause. For those lazy people in the room, the pause is only once a week, okay? It's not that often. But there is something powerful about resting, whether it's our bodies, resting our minds, or resting in what the Lord has done for us. And so today we're going to look at 4 points. None of them are action points. They're all just remember. Remember who he is and remember the attributes that God has. So point number one today, I want us to remember that he is God. Very simply, remember that he is God. Now, if you're here the first Sunday of the year, I'm guessing you have not forgotten who God is. You know that he was the creator. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to build a relationship with us because of sin that has been in our life. And he has forgiven us. Jesus Christ has taken the penalty of our sin, put it upon the cross, and we are now forgiven and can have a relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ. I don't think, maybe one or two, but most of us all remember that. But how many of us came in with the awe of realizing we can talk to that God at any time in our lives? See, we don't forget that he is God, but sometimes we forget the awe that goes with him being God. Like, it blows my mind that I can talk to the guy that spoke things into existence, that I could stop service right now and I can talk to him and he wants to hear from me. We don't forget who God is, we forget the awe. For those of us that have been married for a long time, we are celebrating 18 years. 17 good years, but 18 total years in our marriage. First year, I don't know how we survived, but praise the Lord, we did. It was college, it was work, and shortly after a year, it was a baby, and things were crazy. But we survived. I remember my wife in high school, like, when I saw her, like, it was exciting. Like, oh, there she is. What's she wearing today? Oh, look, you know, I did my hair up nice. You know, I sprayed the cologne. I wanted to look good. I even worked out. Like, I wanted to impress her because I was in awe. Like, there's Amy. Like, I get to see her today. Sometimes I get home from work and I say, oh, there's Amy. What chore is she going to give me now? We lose that sense of awe. We lose that sense of just how incredible it was at the beginning. Side note, I say that marriages are under attack always. You got to invest into your marriage. You've got to spend time with each other. You've got to go on those dates. Even if you can't afford dates, put the kids to bed, watch a Netflix, get some pizza, and hang out. Invest into your relationship. Good marriages just don't happen. Continue to build. Continue to date. That's why I'm making my wife take me out on a date a little later today. You know, I've taken her out for 17 years. I said, this is your time to take me out. So I'm excited for what she has planned. But we lose our sense of awe sometimes when it comes to the Lord. And so when we're looking at this verse, when we remember the sense of awe, we remember how God has taken care of us in the past. Now, I don't think there is a major thing that God has taken care of me in the past couple days. I'm thankful that I have my voice, which I wasn't sure if I would have. I'm thankful for that. But I can't say, hey, in the past 2 or 3 days, God has done something huge in my life. But I can look back through my life and say, God has done this, God has shaped that, and God has done this in my life. And I recall those times in my life, and it leads me to believe that he will continue to take care of me because of what he's done in the past. It's just like how we look on Facebook and we see memories from 10, 15 years ago, and we see what we used to look like, what we used to do, and all these different things, and it reminds us, and we had those good, warm feelings. The same thing happens when we pause and we remember that he is God. It brings some of that sense of awe back into our life that, yes, we have a relationship with the Creator, and it makes us love him that much more. And so when we're looking at this verse today here in Psalm 46, like it's a nice verse, right? Like, be still and remember that he is God. He will be exalted over all the earth. And it's just a wonderful kind of feeling. It makes me feel like a nice summer day. Like a Friday night when you're sitting on your lazy boy, you've mowed the grass, the weekend is ready to come, and dinner's been made, the dishes have been put away, and life is just good, and you are just being still, remembering that he is God. But these verses were written under complete different circumstances. It wasn't a good time when this psalmist wrote this psalm. The writer was someone from the Korah family. It doesn't say specifically who it was, but it was someone from the Korah family. And these were Levitical priests. And they were writing this song of consolation, like, Lord, help us. Let us remember, even in these difficult times, to remember that you are God. You see, it references back to 2 Kings chapter 19. And in 2 Kings chapter 19, there was this individual. He was king of Assyria. His name was King Sennacherib. And he was going around from place to place, destroying city, killing people, and taking all their goods with him. And he went from one city to another city to another city to another city, just destroying everything in its way and taking over. And all of a sudden, Judah was there. King Hezekiah was down in Judah, and he saw this coming. He knew that there was going to be a problem. He knew the Assyrian army was way bigger than theirs, and they would be defeated. In fact, the king of Assyria was mocking Jerusalem, was mocking Judah, and says, listen, I'm going to take and destroy your city. You guys are in some serious trouble, and there's nothing your God can do about it. King Hezekiah knows that to be true. So he does the only thing he can do. He says, God, if there's any way, can you help us? Can you protect us? Can you save us? I know we haven't always served you like we should, but God, please save us. Please protect this capital of Jerusalem. And so the Lord speaks back, not to King Hezekiah, but speaks to the prophet Isaiah. And Isaiah says, hey, listen, King Hezekiah, the Lord has heard your prayer, and he has answered your prayer, and not a single arrow will be shot inside the walls. The battle is yours. I find it interesting that the Lord doesn't say, hey, you're going to win this battle. I'm with you. You will destroy them. You'll be some bloodshed on your own. You have a little bit of loss, but you will win this battle. He says, listen, not a single arrow will be shot. Interestingly enough, the very next verse in 2 Kings 19, verse 35, it says, that night the angel of the Lord went out and struck down 185,000 Assyrians. The battle was the Lord's. You know, it wasn't something where somehow they came up with this masterful plan and they were able to defeat the Assyrian army. It was God was with them, and God sent an angel, and in the middle of the night, this angel killed 185,000 men. It's tough to win a battle when you don't have any people to fight for you. Can I just brag about our kids' ministry, by the way? Some people are hearing about this story for the first time. Our kids' ministry taught this a month ago. So when you bring your kids to kids' church, you bring your kids to kids' ministry, they're not just learning the same Bible story over and over. They're in a 3-year program to learn what the Bible is all about, to learn these stories, to understand God's faithfulness, to remember how great he is. And so we see that the battle was won, not because Judah was able to do anything wonderful. It's because God was with them. God was their refuge. You know, I'm sure there's people in this room that could say that, hey, you know, life is good. Life couldn't be any better. But I'm sure there's people in this room that would say, hey, life is difficult for me right now. Life could be a lot better. And we see this scripture here where we see one verse, the prayer happens, the next verse, the prayer is answered. And what I've seen in my own personal life and in many of your personal lives, generally that's not how it happens. Generally the prayer is prayed, God help me, God there's need, God I have problems in my life, and then what happens? A long pause. Sometimes for days, for weeks, for months, or possibly even years before that prayer is answered. And it's in that time that we're reminded how great God is, even though he's not our genie in a bottle answering our request, but we're reminded of how great he is even in the midst of the pause. He is our ever-present help. And so I talk about, hey, we need to remember that he is God. What are some ways that you can practically remember that he is God? Yes, coming to church is good. I have two ways that I would challenge you with to remember that he is God. One is extremely easy. The other is extremely hard. The first one I would challenge you with is something we generally don't talk about, but it's something called fasting. It's taking away your normal meals for a certain period of time, whether it's one meal, one day, or a few days, and you set that time aside for the Lord. And there's something wonderful about fasting that as you fast, about 5 minutes into your fast, you're going to start having cravings. As soon as you just say, I'm not going to eat anymore, even if you just had a meal, 5 minutes later, you're going to be craving stuff. And you're going to be craving like I do, like McDonald's. And you're going to taste it in the back of your throat, like the golden French fries with the salt. Their special blend of Coke, which has extra sugar in it. This is going to happen, right? And so what happens as soon as that happens is you take that time because it reminds you how good God is. How that if you wanted food, you have probably a closet full of food, or you have a church that has a wonderful food pantry that would give you food at any moment. And so when we're fasting, we're spending time in prayer, we're spending time with God, but every 2 minutes as these hunger pains come back to us, we're reminded how good God is. We're reminded how much we should love him, how much he has taken care of us, and we're always reminded of that time when we're having those hunger pains. That's one way of doing it. The second way, and if you have kids at home, you probably can't do this one, but the second one is just to pause and be still. To turn off the TV, the radio, your cell phone, your computer, your fan, everything in your house, and just to be still. Not even to open your Bible, but just to be still. And to think, and it's amazing, and doesn't happen often, but when it's peace and quiet, there's nothing else going on, it's amazing what our mind goes to. And when we set our mind on things above, it's amazing what God can remind us of. He can remind us of how he's taken care of us in the past and we've forgotten. He can remind us of how much he loves us, how much he cares for us. He can remind us of some of the plans that you have forgotten about that he still wants you to do. So fasting or spending some moments with the Lord, both of those very powerful ways to be still and to remember that he is God. When we are being still, it's a great time of reflection. A great time to look back at 2018. And what was 2018 like for you? Was it a year of growth? Was it a year of being challenged? Was it a year of success? What would you say 2018 was all about? And what can 2019 our focus be? When we look back at 2018, can you ask yourself the question, can I ask myself the question, is my attitude more like that of Jesus Christ when he was here on earth? When he had a mission to fulfill, he had people to serve and things to do. And if we can look at our lives and say, yes, I think I fulfilled that pretty good, then great, keep on going. But if there's areas of your life, like there's areas of my life, where I don't quite meet up to the standard all the time, where sometimes my temper is a little quicker than it should be when the referee on TV makes a bad call, sometimes when my kids, it's later on, and they just want to spend time with their dad, but they're arguing with each other, and so I can come and hang out with them and discipline them. Sometimes it's a little quicker than what it should be. Am I being shaped and molded into the attitude that was in Christ Jesus? And that's the question we ask ourselves. Is 2019 going to be about that? You see, when we look back at Psalm 46 and we pause to remember that he is God, there's three things that we can go back to in the beginning of the chapter to really remember about him, not just being God, but some attributes that we can have in our lives because he is God. So starting back in 46 verse 1, the first part of verse number 1 says, God is our refuge and strength. He's a place of trust. He's a helper found in times of trouble. You know, there's places where we can go. There's places of refuge that maybe you have gone to when you were growing up. What was your place of refuge when something bad happened? When you got in a fight with one of your friends or you got a bad grade, what was your place of refuge? Like, was it a little fort you built in the backyard, a little treehouse, or was it grandma's house that you could go to and everything was okay when you went to grandma's house? She had the snacks you liked and she wanted to make you food and she was there, she loved you, and it was all about grandma. Maybe in your life today it's about mom or dad. That when things go wrong, you pick up the phone, you call mom and dad, and they may not have all the answers, but they have an ear to listen. And you, that's your place of refuge. That's the place we go to. And I think the psalm writer here is saying, that's a good thing, still have those things in your life, but the ultimate source of strength and refuge is found in our relationship of Jesus Christ. The ultimate source of refuge, the ultimate source of relief and protection comes through a relationship that we have. It doesn't come through these smaller things. These can be helpful, but the ultimate source is with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, I say that, hey, come to the Lord. Well, how do we come to the Lord? How simply? Does it mean we come to church? No. Does it mean we pray a little bit? We read our Bible? Yeah, that's some of it. But when I think about coming to the Lord, I think there's a couple different ways that help us come to the Lord. Coming to the Lord very simply is just surrendering ourselves and saying, God, I am yours. I want to spend time. You are worthy. I worship you with my time. I think about musically. When I was growing up 25 years ago, there was one good Christian band, and that was DC Talk. The rest of them, they're okay. Today, there are thousands of good Christian bands, thousands of good Christian music, and we can listen to them from our phones, from the internet, from all different places. And music has such a way of not changing our hearts, but opening our hearts to different things. And I can prove this to you. Think about those of you who've ever worked out in your life. You're getting ready to pump some iron, right? What kind of music do you put on? Do you put on some classical music? There's always one, okay? So one of you probably do. But for the most of us, when you work out, you're putting on some upbeat music. You want the adrenaline rolling. You want the motivation to keep going. And you want to jog or lift the weights or do what you want to do. And that music opens up your heart to being motivated to doing that. On the other hand, there's somebody that by the name of Barry Manilow, right? Nice romantic evening. Nice soft music that's playing and singing. And that kind of gets you like in the romantic mood. There's country music. I don't think anybody listens to country music, so we'll skip right through that. Those are the ones that listen right there. But there's something about Christian music. When we listen to it, we learn the words, and we take that music and we sing it back to the Lord. It's so powerful that it opens up our heart to be reminded that He is such a good God, that He has given us so much, that He has saved us from so much, and there's not a stupid thing that I can do that can rip me from His hand. Like, I am sealed and secured for the day that I will die and spend eternity in heaven. Like, that's just so powerful to remember that He is the creator of the universe. To remember the things that He wants a relationship with us. And I think Christian music opens our hearts to being reminded of that. I would challenge you once again to look into God's word. God's love letter to us. It's scripture verses that He wants us to understand Him more. I say this about every time I preach. If you have a cell phone that has apps and you're not getting the daily Bible verse, download it right now so you can have a Bible verse sent to you every day. It takes about 6 seconds of your day to read a Bible verse, but it sets our minds on the right thing. And of course, prayer. The sense of awe that we can have, that we can still talk to God, that we can still have a creator of the universe that will listen to us at any time. So that he is our refuge and strength. But the second part of that verse goes on to say something else. In Psalm 46:1, the second part says, He is a very present help in trouble. Point number three is, God is with us, an ever-present help. You know, the strength of Jerusalem, we talk about in 2 Kings, Jerusalem, the city was saved. It had some walls around it which were good, but its strength was not found in its walls. Its strength was found with God. Its strength was found because God was with her. God was with this city to protect it. Same thing with you and I. Our strength is not found in our church membership. Our strength is not found in the number of hours that we serve. Our strength is found in the relationship we have with God through his son, Jesus Christ. We are overcomers. Now listen, let me explain how we're overcomers. We don't always overcome on this earth. We're going to have ups, we're going to have downs, and let me tell you, at the end, you will not overcome life. Your body will shut down. Your body will stop to exist. Your health will deteriorate. And one time, unless the Lord raptures us home, we will all experience loss on this earth, loss of life. And so that's not what we will overcome with. After our life is over, we are overcomers in eternity. That we will have overcome this life, that as it says in 2 Thessalonians, O death, where is your sting? What Satan made to be a powerful kind of hit to us, that death was supposed to have a sting, death was supposed to be so horrible and so painful, that yes, there is a process, but after the death, there is no sting. Because the victory is ours in the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, we are overcomers over death. He is our ever-present help. You see, the ever-present help, I think, is through the Holy Spirit that he gives us. And the Holy Spirit is there to guide, direct us in all this. And I don't think the Holy Spirit has to guide and direct us from right and from wrong, because naturally, as believers, we should know that. We should understand right from wrong. But I think sometimes there's two good choices, where we're presented with two good choices in our lives. And the Holy Spirit can help guide us and direct us in which one of those good choices is the right one for us to take. He is an ever-present help. He's guiding us. And finally, point number four, we can see the circumstances that the psalm writer was really feeling before he said to be still and know that he is God. Look at these circumstances he was feeling in verse number 2 and 3. It says, therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. Point number four is God gives us courage. Your life may feel like this psalm writer says, that the whole world is upside down. The mountains are falling into the seas. The water is all over. And there is chaos all around you. But in the midst of that, we are called to have courage. In the midst of everything that's going wrong with your life, in the midst of everything that may be going wrong with your personal life, your work life, everything that's going wrong with that, there's a point sometimes where we come to our life and we pause and we stop striving. We stop doing. We pick up the white flag and we wave it and we say, God, I can't do this anymore, because the foundation of what I've been building on is a sense of me instead of the sense of you. I've been building my relationship. I've been building my life on my job. I've been building my relationship on my security and my money. I've been building my life on this. I've been building it on a strong family. And sometimes that stuff gets wiped away. And we can't fix it. We can't build it back up. And we just got to wave the white flag and say, God, I need to be building the foundation on you. Help me rebuild this. I think it's important that we strive to accomplish much. I think it's important that we try and we strive and we do all this stuff, as long as our foundation is firm. As long as our foundation is on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so, yes, I have courage not because I am good enough, but I have courage because of what Jesus Christ has done in me. In Romans chapter 8, verse 37, it says, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who loved us. I like to say it this way. Look, despite, and you fill in the worst thing that's going on in your life, you are an overwhelming victor. Going back to football, I know football season's almost done. In a football game, you can still have a huge victory where you win by 30, 40, 50 points, but you can have a bad play. Not only can you have a bad play, but you can have a bad series of plays. And that's bad. You hate to see that. You hate to see a fumble. You hate to see an interception. You hate to see a missed tackle. You hate to see those bad plays, but they happen to everybody in every game. But what really matters is, at the end of the game, did you score more points than the other team? And our victory as believers, we are up 1 million to nothing. And we're going to throw interceptions. We're going to fumble the ball from time to time. We're going to miss tackles. But the victory is already ours in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it says God is here to give us the courage. He wants us to pause. And yes, even though there's things around us that are taking our attention away from us, pause, and he gives us the courage. Sometimes gives us the courage that we already have. We just don't realize it. About 7 or 8 years ago, I took some kids to youth camp here. I was the youth pastor before I came on to be different things here on staff. And we took kids to winter camp. And winter camp is supposed to be a fun time with a bunch of snow. And we go sledding and tobogganing and have a snowball fight. But it ended up being a lot like this weekend, where it was a weekend where it was like 60 degrees outside. It was very nice. And so we didn't know what to do. We had all these winter things planned, but it was so nice. We started finding things to do. And we noticed that they had a pond out front with a rowboat and a couple canoes. And so we said, guys, we are going out on the pond. Now, yes, the temperature was 60 degrees, but the water was probably somewhere around 34, 35 degrees. It was not very warm. So the kids are going out in the water. They got their life jackets on, and everything's going well. And so one of our deacons, Greg Williams, was in a little canoe with another kid, and the kid's kind of standing up. And Greg's like, hey, boy, you need to sit down. This isn't safe. And the kid's like, no, this is fun. Everybody watch me. And then you know the story. Falls right in the water. On top of that, his life jacket was not on secure enough. I take responsibility for that. And so his life jacket kind of floats away. And he's in the water. Guess what? The one kid that can't swim is this kid that's in the middle of the pond without his life jacket. Water's 35 degrees. So he's flailing all along, thinking he's going to drown. And so what our youth leader Greg does is he grabs him, hops in the water with him, and tells him, listen, hey, stand up. And so this 14-year-old kid who thought he was on his deathbed turns and stands up. Now he's freezing, he's embarrassed, but guess what? He's not going to die. Water was about 4 feet deep, and so everything was okay. I think as silly as that story is, sometimes we are that person in the middle of a pond thinking the worst thing in the world is happening to us right now, and we just need God to tell us sometimes, stand up. Would you turn to your neighbor and say, you've got problems? Okay, it wasn't supposed to be that much fun. Now turn back to your neighbor and say, but God is bigger. I feel like you had more fun in saying you got problems than saying God is bigger. You guys are a little rowdy this morning. I like it. But I think there may be people in this room today that you're in that situation where it feels like your world is caving in on you. Maybe things aren't going quite as you had planned it. And there are problems, there are difficulties, but they're not as big as what you make them out to be. And maybe you just need to hear today that you need to stand up. Yeah, the water's cold. You're going to be embarrassed. And it's not what you had planned. But this problem ain't going to take you out. This problem's not going to knock you down. This problem is something you're going to work through. It's something you're going to get through. And by the courage that God gives you, by the strength that he gives you, it's a problem that you're going to get through because God is bigger. You know, going back to verse 10 in chapter 46, you know, we talked about to stop, to be still, to pause, and to remember that he is God. But I like what it says on those next two phrases. After we pause, after we're still, and we remember that he is God, what happens? It says, we pause, remember. It says, I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The nation of Israel, specifically Jerusalem, was delivered that day from the Assyrian army. And they didn't understand what happened. They just knew their people were dead. And the nations that surrounded them, none of these nations came in and said, listen, Israel, your God is the one true God. But they came in and said, listen, we don't know anything about you guys. We don't know anything about your God, but we ain't going to mess with him. And the Lord was exalted. It says they brought offerings. Unbelieving nations brought offerings to the God of Israel, to the God of Judah. And said, listen, we don't understand everything that happened, but we are not going to mess with you. We want to build an alliance with you. And so God was exalted that day. God was lifted up. God was given praise not only by his own people, but by the surrounding unbelieving nations. God was exalted. You see, when we're faithful, God's exalted. When we remain faithful to the Lord year after year after year, and we do the right thing time and time again, God is exalted in that. When we don't know how we're getting attacked, and you know, as we see the church gets more and more attacked, and it's becoming harder and harder for us to take biblical stances, but when we do, God is exalted. God is lifted up in those areas. It's a form of worship. When we are obedient to him, he is exalted in that. So when I think about what 2019 should look like, I pray that the beginning starts off with a pause. That we pause, we reflect. Sometime today, sometime tomorrow, that you pause, that you take a few minutes and you say, here's what I want 2019 to look like. I want to be more like this in the attitude that is in Christ Jesus, that is in me. At least it should be. We pause, we remember how great God is, how he loves you, he cares for you. We're his adopted children into his family. How much just to remember the love that God has for us, regardless of the love you feel anywhere around you, that God loves you and would have died specifically just for you. We pause, we remember, and when we have that obedience in our life, it exalts him. And so I've talked about pausing, I've talked about reflecting. We can't end service without pausing and reflecting. So I'm going to ask everyone to bow their heads and close their eyes. And we're just going to have a few minutes of talking to the Lord, just praying to him. And I think about this verse here, as you're reflecting with heads bowed, eyes closed. I think about this verse, it says that one day, everyone will exalt God. Every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. So the question isn't, hey, will you exalt God in your life? Eventually, one day you will, whether it's in heaven or hell. Eventually, one day we will understand that God is the one true God. My question for you is, why not today? Why not today while you still have time? Why don't you come to a point where you say, God, I'm sorry for the things that I've done wrong. I believe in your son Jesus, and I ask him into my life. Very simply, through a prayer just like that, you say it to the Lord, I'm sorry, I believe, and I ask you into my life. And that's the beginning of a relationship with God through his son Jesus Christ. I'll be down front a little later. I'd love to talk to you more about it. But for other people in this room, maybe 2018 was a year of trying to do it on your own. Maybe 2018 was a time where you looked for love in all the wrong places. A time where you looked for self-worth in wrong places. You looked for to stay busy at work rather than staying busy with what God wants in your life. And I pray that during this time or the next few days that you take a time just to remember that he is God. And the things that will matter for eternity are things that are done with him and for him. So let's just spend another minute in prayer, and I'll close us out in just a minute.